Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Active Believing, Seeing Results. And so I'm just going to go ahead and just quote our, we got four theme scriptures. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, "Have faith in God." Hallelujah. James 2, verses 17, 20, and 26 says this, "Faith without works is dead," or "faith without corresponding action is empty, unproductive, it's dead, it's lifeless." Romans 10, verse 17 says this, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And 1 John 5, 4 says this, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So we're talking about faith. Faith. Hallelujah. The word faith is a noun. It means a persuasion or conviction of truth. It means, or can be translated as, belief. And so I've been using the word belief mostly. It's a noun. Faith is a noun. It means belief. Belief. But, okay, belief. So faith is a mindset, it's a belief, but it's more than just that. It's also a spiritual conviction. It's a spiritual conviction. It's something on the inside. It's a knowing. I know that I know. There's just something. I just know it. All right? So it's a noun. It's a belief. It's a persuasion or conviction of truth. The word believe is a verb. So faith is a noun, meaning it's a thing, it's a noun, but believe is a verb. In other words, it's an action word. It means this, to have faith in, to entrust, and to believe. So believe is an action word. It is acting on what is said or acting on what is heard. Romans 3:27 says this, talking about the law of faith. The law of faith. There is a law of faith, a law of belief. Interesting. The word law can also be translated as principles. There are principles of faith, or there are principles of belief. The law of faith. And because it's a law, just like the law of gravity, just because it's a law, it means it works and functions the same for everybody. It's constant. It's predictable. The law of faith. It's constant. It's predictable for everybody. Hallelujah. And this is how faith or belief works. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says this, talking about the spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, that is, it is written, we believe, therefore we speak. We also believe. And therefore speak. This is how the law of faith, the law of belief, functions and operates. Active believing is a way to emphasize. When I say active believing, right, believe is an action word, but when I say active believing, I'm putting an emphasis on the action part of belief to get results and not just the belief itself. So I'm trying to trigger something on the inside of us that when we talk about believing, when we talk about faith, when we talk about believing, I believe God, that it must have action tied to it. It's not just a belief by itself. And that's why James said, faith without works is dead, or our belief in what God said without any corresponding action is dead, lifeless, and unproductive. So to see results, we might not only need to have a belief, but we need to act. And so that's why we say, I believe God. That means that we have a belief, but we're also acting on those beliefs based on the Word of God. If we are believing something, we are acting on that something, and it produces results. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4 says this, "What we believe doesn't change God. It only changes what we receive." So whether we receive or don't receive, is determined on what we believe. Our believing does not change God. It only changes what we receive. The shield of faith, we talked about this last week, the shield of faith does what? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 6. Faith is a shield to do what? To protect us when we are under attack. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear the Word of God. We choose to lay hold and align our belief what God says. And that it becomes a shield. It becomes a protection and a defense for us against the works, the wiles, and the strategies of the devil. Faith comes by hearing, hear by the Word of God. Faith is a shield. It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It protects us while we're under attack. And so it means that we need to stick with, focus on, lean on, and choose the belief and conviction of the Word while we're under pressure. Right? It's no longer, it's no good to just have this shield of faith, you know, when everything's going well, and then when we're under pressure to walk out from behind it and go, what's going on out here? And then get hit with fiery darts. No, stay behind the shield of faith. In other words, we must continue, especially under pressure, to stick with the Word, focus on the Word, lean on the Word, choose the belief of what God said. Stay behind the shield of faith when we're under pressure. That's not the time to look around and go, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? What? Quit it over there. Stop that, you know? That's not the time to do that. Stay behind the shield. Hallelujah. And then 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 and 4 tells us about this attack. If we're under attack, if we're under pressure, what is that all about? He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and taking captive every thought. So there is a fight. The fight is in our mind. The fight is with our thinking and our beliefs. It's not a natural fight. It's not a physical fight, we found out. But it is a fight. And it's not a fight against the devil because the devil's been defeated. But the fight is, see, he's applying pressure. He's shooting darts at us. And so the battle is not necessarily in the spirit. Jesus has already defeated him. Where's the battle? The battle's in our mind. He's applying pressure to us. See, we don't need to defeat him. Jesus already defeated the devil. But if he can get us to change what we believe, if he can get us to change our belief, that's why he said to Eve, did God say, raise a question. And then he said, you won't die. He lied to you. He is holding back on you. Where's that attack? He's not attacking her. He's not biting her. He's not chasing her. No, the attack is in her mind. The only way he can get what she has, or the only way he can get her to not enjoy what God has for her, was to get her to change what she believed. To believe a lie. The fight of faith is in our mind. It's an attack on our beliefs. Satan is trying to steal what is ours, what Jesus has rightfully bought and purchased for us in redemption. He's trying to steal what's ours, but he can't just do it. So what he has to do is he has to use deception and manipulate our beliefs to get us to let it go. Let it go. So this is about a change of belief. We went to Matthew chapter 6, and it's talking about a change of belief to serve God and not money. We found out the importance of serving God, and we went through the process of serving God, and that's in part three, so you can dig into that on our YouTube channel. But he said here, verse 33, Matthew 6, verse 33, He said, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what did I say about that? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom? To seek first the kingdom is, number one, to seek first the king, because the kingdom is the king's domain or the king's dominion. And so it's to seek first the king. He's our source. He's our source. When we're talking about serving God, we need to know that he is our source. And if we're going to serve God, then we need to understand that seeking first the kingdom is about the advancement of the kingdom. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about advancement of the kingdom. We have an assignment. If we're going to seek mammon, our highest thought is, how can I get more things? But we have a higher purpose. In the kingdom, there is a higher purpose. A higher purpose. Where Jesus said, the value of our life, there is more to life than the things. And he said, talked about the identity of life, which is the value of my life. It's more than just things. It's more, we're more valuable than the birds. We're more valuable than the plants. The value of my life, the value of your life, our identity. And then the third thing was faith. He said, there is a higher purpose for us. And that would be the advancement of that kingdom. And then he said, the Amplified says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing. Right way of doing. So the righteousness is his right way. How does the kingdom function up? His right way of doing things. How does the kingdom function and operate? We need to believe in the king. We must believe in advancing the kingdom, and we must believe in the way the kingdom functions and operates. How does the kingdom operate? What are the laws? What are the rules? What are the ways, the law of faith, the ways that the kingdom operates? If we have function and understand the way the kingdom functions and operates, we'll be able to access and enjoy all the things we need. The things are not the problem. Verse 32 says, listen, the Gentiles are seeking after the things. And Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows that you need the things. So the things are not the problem. God knows we need the things. He just said, don't seek the things. If we're going to serve God, we don't seek the things. We seek first the kingdom. And God gets us the things. Hallelujah. It's a totally different way of thinking. So let's go ahead, and actually, I didn't read this. Verse 34. Verse 34 is good. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. If we're going to serve God, what? We don't worry about tomorrow. Now, if we're going to serve mammon, we'll worry about tomorrow. Why? Because the whole question is, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drive? Where am I going to live? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to get the stuff? How's the stuff going to keep coming? Where's the food coming from? If we're going to serve mammon, we're going to worry about tomorrow. But if we're going to serve God, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because he says, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. In other words, why bring tomorrow's problems into today? So we are to plan and we are to prepare. I mean, Proverbs talks a lot about planning and preparing. Planning and preparing is totally different than worrying about tomorrow. Planning and preparation is what God has called us and assigned us to do. We are to plan and prepare. Matter of fact, he said, you know, we need to count the cost. Amen. Jesus talks about the one story, count the cost. You know, you got a building half done and all of a sudden you run out of money, or you got an army coming towards you and you need to decide, count the cost. Do you got enough to whip their butt, or do you need to send someone over there as an ambassador to shake hands and say, can we negotiate here before you kick my butt? He said, count the cost. Plan, prepare. Well, we understand that if we're going to plan and prepare, things can change. Planning and preparation is not putting something in stone. Planning and preparation just gives us a direction. And sometimes the Lord just gives us enough information to take the next step. So our planning and preparing and working together with Him will give us the next step. And sometimes we assume that the next step after that will be such and such. And we'll find out when we get that one step done, everything changes. Jesus gets up one morning, and I'm sure they had the plan. Their itinerary was already set up to go somewhere. And John chapter 4, God said to the Father, said to Jesus, "Today you must needs be go through Samaria." That's King James. I just like it because it sounds so cool and weird. "Today you must needs be go through Samaria." "Yeah, but we were going to go this way," but the Father said, "Yeah, but today you must needs be go through Samaria." Okay, so we're not going to go around Samaria today, guys. We're going through Samaria. Why? The Father said so. So we got plans. Jesus gets off the boat, right? He's got a plan. Jairus comes in to him and says, "Listen, you come to my house. Please come to my house. My daughter's about to die. You come lay your hands on her. She will live and not die." He said, "Okay." He might have been going this way. The plan might be to go this way. The preparation, the itinerary might be set up to go this way. And then all of a sudden this happened. And so he goes this way. And on the way to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood touches him. Yanks the power of God right out of him, heals her body. And he stops and goes, "Who just did that? I felt the power jump out of me." He wants to hear a testimony. So we can have great plans. We can have great preparation. That's what God wants us to do. And yet Proverbs at the same time says, God is the one who directs our steps. So we plan and we prepare, and we allow God to direct our steps. In other words, He can interrupt the plan, and He can interrupt the preparation. He can interrupt. He can adjust. He can make amendments to the plan. Amen? So He said, "Listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Plan, prepare, but don't bring tomorrow's weight and garbage. Don't bring tomorrow. There's enough to deal with today. There's enough stuff to deal with today than to bring tomorrow's stuff in. Plan, prepare, but don't worry, fret and get anxious and allow fear. Because when you get into tomorrow, there's going to be enough to stuff to deal with tomorrow. Let tomorrow, sufficient for the day, is its own trouble." There's enough to deal with every day than trying to multiply and pile on multiple days into one day. Don't just deal with today. Just deal with today. What do we need to do today? Things change today? Okay, so then how do we pivot? How do we adjust and work with today? And we get in tomorrow, we cast the care on the Lord. We thank the Lord He's taking care of us, and we get direction every day we get in there. Understand that? This is about how to serve God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't allow fear about tomorrow to rob us of wise decisions today and to distract us today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the Hall of Faith. So, I mean, it's just, it's an amazing chapter. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." Now faith. So we're right with the word faith, belief. Our belief is the substance. Our belief is the substance of things hoped for or expected. The word substance can be translated as foundation, title deed, confirmation, conviction, and assurance. Our belief in God's word. Our belief in God is the foundation, the title deed, the confirmation, the conviction, the assurance of the things that we hope for that we expect. Our belief is this foundation. Our belief in God and His Word. Is our assurance of the things that we expect. Our belief is the evidence of things not seen. Our belief is the evidence. Our belief in what God said is the evidence of things that we don't yet see. We don't see it. It's not seen. So how can we have evidence, or how can we have assurance that we will have it? That we can expect to receive it and enjoy it? Faith is the evidence. Until we have the thing, faith is the evidence. What's faith? Faith is our belief. Our belief is the evidence. Our belief. So, because I used to teach, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I would say the Word of God is our evidence that we'll have it. But that's not what it says. Why? Because everyone can go to the grocery store. Everyone can go to the bookstore. Everyone can have the Word of God. Everyone can have a Bible. Everyone can have this. And yes, this is not the evidence. It's our belief in this that's our evidence. So it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is not the evidence. It's our belief in the Word of God that's the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Because faith comes by hearing, but just because faith comes doesn't mean we believe it. When faith comes, we have a choice to change our belief to align with the Word of God, or to say, no, I don't believe that. It comes. Every time we hear it, it comes. But because it comes doesn't mean we have it. It just means it comes. It's like someone comes to the door and want to sell us something. We can say yes or we can say no. Amen? We have a choice. Faith comes by hearing. It comes. Now we have a choice to say, I believe that, or I don't. And if we don't, it's called unbelief. When we choose to believe it, it's called belief. Have belief in God. Have faith in God, Jesus said. So, a number of years ago, when I was teaching at a Bible school, this were a number of statements the Lord gave me in regards to faith. Because I began to see this more clearly. Instead of just parroting what someone else has said, I began to sense something. There is more to this than just what I used to teach. And this is what the Lord gave me. Faith is the substance. It is that something. Why? Because see, faith is a noun. It is that something that makes us different, giving us hope and expectation. Because of it, we are able to give testimony of the hope. We're able to give testimony of the confidence and the expectation that we have. Faith gives us substance. It's not only substance, but it gives us substance. We are to be a people of substance. We are not just talkers, babblers. What we say actually comes to pass. We believe what we say and speak with confidence and inward certainty and get results. We are convinced and are sure and talk with assurance. Why? Faith, belief. That belief, that confidence, that assurance and boldness is what God has said is our evidence. Oh, that belief, that confidence, that assurance and boldness in what God has said is our evidence and proof that we shall have what we say and see what we do not see. It's that faith, it's that boldness that is the evidence. If there's no faith, if there's no belief, if there's no confidence, if there's no assurance, then we know that there's no faith. Or maybe it's real small faith. So we need to spend more time in the Word to increase our faith. And to confess and declare and decree what God has said. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. I choose to believe what God said. Until we become fully persuaded. And it's this full persuasion. It's this belief. It's this conviction. It's this belief that is our evidence. The evidence and the proof that we shall have what we say and see what we don't yet see. Verse 2. For by it what? By faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report. Hallelujah. I would like to receive a good testimony and a good report. And he talks about the elders, and then most of this chapter is now going to begin to talk about the elders and why and how they received a good report and a good testimony. By it, the elders, by faith, by their belief and their conviction in what God said, they obtained a good report. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we understand this. Okay. Now let's dissect this verse. Because this verse means way more than what people think it says on the surface. They think the earth was created because of the Word of God. Well, it was, but that's not what this verse is talking about. Because the word worlds is not talking about the planet. The Greek word worlds here is talking about a specific allotted period of time. Decades, centuries, generations of past history. This word worlds is talking about lives. A specific allotted period of time, history. He said, we understand that by faith, by belief, people's history, people's decade, people's lives were framed by the Word of God. Now, the word framed, this is a cool word. The word framed says this, means this. To take an already existing thing and to remold, change, and alter its outward form and shape. To take an already existing thing and to remold, reshape, and change its form and outward shape. God is saying, listen, we understand that by faith, that these elders, because of the Word of God, because their belief in what God said, they were able to alter and change and literally reshape their life. Their history, their decade, their specific allotted period of time, their life was placed in a specific allotted period of time in history. They were alive for such a time as that. And they were able to alter and remold and reshape that specific period of time. Their life changed history. Remolded and reshaped history. All because of their belief in what God said. We too can change our decade. We want this to be our best decade yet. There is a way to change our decade. There is a way to remold and reshape our specific allotted period of time that we have been placed into right here and right now. How? By faith. By our belief in what God said. We understand that by faith, their lives were changed, altered, transformed. They're literally reshaped by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Now in the Greek, this phrase, the word the and the word of, those Greek words, by the Word of God, it can also be translated, those Greek little words, the and of, can also be translated a and from. They altered and changed their history, their life, by the Word of God and by a word from God. See, this is very important that we understand this. The Word of God. The Word of God. Except, you know what? Not everything about our lives, not all the details and the direction and steps are in here. So sometimes we need a word from God because some of the details are not in the Word of God. So when I'm praying and the word from God, a word from God says, what about Audrey? That's not in here. But it's a word from God. It's not the Word of God, but it is a word from God. And it literally changed my decade. Changed my life. A word from God. And it will always line up with the Word of God, but that it's still the Holy Ghost. It's a word from God. Sometimes we need a word from God. Do this, don't do that. Some of those specifics are not in the Word of God, but the Word of God tells us the Holy Ghost will lead and guide and direct us. So we need to also to have a word from God. A word from God. And we can change our life. We can change our history. We can change our decade. We can literally remold and reshape things. We are not stuck. We're not stuck. We're not stuck. The devil will try to put a Red Sea in front of us and try to put mountains on the side of us and put the enemy behind us and make us feel like we're stuck. We need a word from God. And God told Moses, listen, what are you standing there whining about? Lift up your rod and I'll open the sea. Well, I never thought about that. God's got it all figured out. He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans. For our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity and our success. Not of evil or of harm, but to give us an expected end and a hopeful future. They thought they'd trick Jesus. Is it option A or option B? Option A or option B? He said, I choose option C. There's no option C. I just made option C. God just gave me option C. And it just frustrated them all the time. They thought they would, they just put them in a hard place. You're stuck. You're stuck. You only got two options. You only got two options. And God would say, boop, option C. And Jesus would say, option C. And they would just shake their heads. And the people would go, wow, wow, and cheer them on. Frustrated the devil and the religious people. So we see here, we can alter and change and remold our history, our future, our life. Now, interesting, we'll just continue on here. But I want us to see, right? Faith is a noun. And because faith is a noun, James said, faith without works is dead. We must have corresponding action to go with our belief. So let's go through this. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. By faith. Abel had a belief. But in order for him to get results, he had to do what? He had to offer. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch. He was taken away, or he was accepted, or he was received. But what was the action? The end of verse 5 says that he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. What was the action? He pleased God. What do we see? Verse, and then the Holy Ghost decides to explain that. Well, what do you mean? Verse 6 says this, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without belief in what God said, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes must believe, action word, that he is, that he is what? That he's God, and that he is a rewarder, a wage payer, the administrator, the one who gives payment, the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek is the same word used twice, and it means a specific point of action to seek, crave, require, and worship. By faith, Enoch pleased God. By believing that he was God and that he was the rewarder as he diligently sought him, specific points of action to seek him, specific points of action to crave him, to require him, and to worship him. Bible says Enoch walked with God 300 years. And then just got to the point where it's very possible God said, you know what? You didn't want to come. You want to come home? And the Bible says he received him. I mean, it's translated as taken away, but that word taken away, it can be also accepted, received. God received him. He accepted God's offer. He didn't even die. He was not. He walked with God 300 years and then was not. It's gone. Why? Because he had this testimony. By faith, he pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. Noah. Verse 7. Noah. What about Noah? When he was divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Faith. Belief. But belief must have action. What was his action? He moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when God had called him to go out to a place where he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This whole verse is filled with action. His belief in God caused him to obey, to go to a place, and he went out not even knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. By faith he dwelt. Verse 10, for he waited, or he looked. Faith will cause us to dwell. Faith will cause us to look, to wait, to look, to expect. Verse 11, by faith Sarah, she received strength, and she bore a child. Why? What did she do? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, because her belief and her action was he judged him faithful who had promised. And so she received strength and she gave birth to a child. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. Faith works. Faith, corresponding action. His belief had action. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith. Hallelujah. He blessed. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, his son, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of a staff. By faith, he did what? He blessed and worshipped. Action. Tied with his belief. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. Where? Out of Egypt. But what did he do? By faith, he gave instruction concerning his bones. He had a belief. And so he gave instruction about his bones. He said, take my bones with you. They're not left yet. They're not delivered yet. They're still slaves. And yet he made a promise. He made an instruction. There's going to be a day you are going to be free. This is my belief. Based on what God has told me, you are going to be set. You're going to go back home. Take my bones with you. See, his belief and an action. There was a corresponding action to what his belief was. He gave instruction concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Moses' parents, by faith, because of what they believed, their belief, they hid Moses for 3 months. Moses' parents had a belief. And because of that belief, it caused an action where they hid Moses 3 months. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He did this. By faith he refused. By faith he made a choice. Because of his belief, he made a choice. He refused. There are some things we're going to have to refuse. Because of our belief, we get to refuse. That's an action. There's some things we get to refuse. Because of our belief in what God said. You can refuse sickness and disease. We can refuse poverty and lack. We can refuse confusion and fear. Verse 25. Also, so by faith, he all not only refused, but it says choosing. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteem the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So by faith. By faith what? By faith he refused. By faith he chose. By faith he looked to the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Most people think he left Egypt because he was afraid of the king. The Bible doesn't say he was afraid of the king. The Bible says he left Egypt by faith. He left Egypt because he chose to forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. So the Bible says he didn't leave because he was scared. He didn't leave because he was scared for his life. He left by faith. He had a belief. Now it's interesting. This is why Moses never wanted to go back to Egypt. He had a belief. He had a belief, and he refused. And he chose, and he looked to the reward, and he literally, by faith, based on his belief, he forsook Egypt. This is why he never wanted to go back. He had a belief. He forsook Egypt. He left it behind. He dropped that coat and threw it away. I'm never going back. It's kind of like blind Bartimaeus. When he dropped his coat and went to Jesus, Jesus called him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to receive my sight. And I'm following you. So get used to me." Right? He dropped his coat. His legal pass to his license to beg. "I ain't begging no more. Enough of this begging." He refused. He forsook. And off he went to the next thing. Hallelujah. Verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. Can you see this? Belief, action, faith, action, faith corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. There must always be this corresponding action tied to belief to get results. We want to see results, there must be action tied to our belief. By faith he forsook. By faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. On dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. They passed through by faith. They had a belief, so then when it opened up, they walked through. By faith, they took action. By faith, they passed through. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. They had a belief, and because they had this belief, they walked around Jericho 7 days. 7 days. Because of this belief, they walked around Jericho for 7 days. And then the walls fell. Belief, action. Belief, action. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. This is interesting. This is a very interesting woman. The harlot Rahab, she received, by faith, she received the spies. By faith, she received the spies. She's a prostitute, but by faith, she received the spies. And she told the spies, she said, "We have been terrified of you ever since we heard of you coming through the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned. We've been terrified of you ever since." Now, it's interesting, as I read this verse again, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. What does that mean? That means she believed. By faith, she had a belief. When she heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, opened up the Red Sea, brought them through, delivered them, closed the sea, destroyed the Egyptians, and they're coming this way, everyone's terrified, but she chose to believe in the God of Israel. She had a belief. She had a belief. So when the opportunity came and the spies came, she recognized them, she received them, she protected them, she hid them, and then she sent them away safe because of her belief. She had a belief. She heard. She believed. Faith comes by hearing. She heard and she believed. Now this is, keep your finger here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. This is an amazing woman. She's a harlot. That's her past. She's a harlot. Now, the scripture, the word of God, does bring this up a number of times. Her name is used a number of times. Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot. Maybe we have a past that we're not so excited about. Maybe we have a past that we really don't want people to know about. Maybe we have a past that maybe people know about. But how can we move on? It's interesting. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. And so we'll be closing soon. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. So now this is the first time a woman is in here so far. It's all been beget by. It's all been the dads. We got Tamar's name in there. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nahashon, and Nahashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. So apparently, when Rahab was saved, Rahab the harlot was saved and rescued out of Jericho, she was brought back, and some Solomon, he liked her. She liked him. So Solomon married Rahab, and Rahab gave birth to Boaz. And Boaz, so we got this Solomon married a foreigner. And then she gives birth to Boaz. And if we ever, know anything about the Bible, we know about Boaz because the whole book of Ruth is about Naomi and her two stepdaughters, her two daughter-in-laws, and their husbands, her sons, died. And so Naomi told her daughter-in-law, said, just stay here. I'm going to go back home. And the one daughter-in-law said, okay, thanks, see you. And the other one said, I ain't going nowhere. Your God is my God, your people is my people. And she went with Naomi back to Israel. And so Naomi said, I want you to go, gather some food for us. I want you to go to a certain field. Because in that field, you're going to find favor. There is a field of favor for you over there. Well, whose field was that? Boaz. Boaz's field. Because he was a relative. And so she found favor there. And over the process of time, Boaz married Ruth. So we have Salmon who married Rahab. Now, she's not called Rahab the harlot. She's just called Rahab. Right? Because that was her past. But now she's Rahab. She's now the mother of Boaz. And Boaz marries Ruth. She's a foreigner. And she gives birth to Obed. And Obed beget Jesse. And Jesse beget David, the king. So David's dad is Jesse. David's grandpa is Obed. David's great-grandpa and grandma were Boaz and Rahab. No. Ruth, Boaz and Ruth. Great-great-grandparents are Salmon and Rahab. Interesting. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read the rest, but you can read the rest. I mean, it's wonderful. But see here, by faith, Rahab received the spies. And it changed her life forever. She had a past. But she literally reshaped, altered, and remolded her decade, her life, her specific allotted period of time, her life, by what her belief was. We too can change our life, change our history. Then we see verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith did what? Action, action, action. But their beliefs did what? Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And women, by faith, received their dead raised to life again. By faith. Faith and then an action that follows. Faith and then an action that follows. Belief and then an action that follows. So again, let me remind us, James chapter 2, verses 17, verses 20, and verses 26 says this, faith without works is dead. So faith with works or corresponding action produces results. We just went through Hebrews chapter 11 and we saw every single time God said someone did something by faith, there was an action tied to it and it produced a result that literally changed their lives, changed their history. And so I'm just encouraging and reminding us, we can change, alter, reshape our life, our future, by our belief in what God has said and our action that corresponds with that belief. It's not enough just to believe it. We must take action. Active believing causes us to see and get results. Amen? Glory to God.